The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Winning the game of life. I just want to talk about some more kingdom principles this morning. I want to share with you and talk to you about something that a lot of people don't like to talk about in the church, and that's submission. How important it is. Boy, everybody got quiet. Submission to some people is a dirty word. But submission is a part of becoming a part of the body of Christ. Let's see where I want to go with this. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We'll just go ahead and start with verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. It's just a reasonable thing for you to present your body holy and acceptable to God. It's not anything unusual or spectacular. It's just reasonable that you do that. We all should be doing that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I can preach a whole message on that scripture right there, but that's not my purpose of my message this morning. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In other words, keep your pride in check. It doesn't matter what you're doing in the church, how people look at you, you're no better than anyone else. Be sober. God has dealt to each of us a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now, we know that God has given spiritual gifts to believers. I believe that when you're born again, you have spiritual gifts that are imparted to you. Sometimes our natural talents are enhanced by the Spirit of God that comes upon us and comes in to live within us. But regardless, every believer has gifts imparted to them. Not every believer is operating in their gifts, but every believer has gifts imparted to them. And God expects us to be mature enough to use that measure of faith that he talked about here to begin to grow and operate in our gifts. You see that gift that you were given, if all you do is set on it in the pew on Sunday morning and never begin to develop it and use it, your faith is not growing and you're not growing in your gift. You're not expanding it. And you know what it's not doing? It's not helping the body of Christ a bit. In fact, I believe it's a sin. Because if you're disobedient to God and not use what God has given you, you're walking in sin. That's what sin is disobedience to God. He doesn't want you that. Now, he's not condemning you, and I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to tell you this morning that you have some gifts inside of you that need to be stirred up and used. God wants to take you from glory to glory in your life, from level to level, so that you become a new creature in Him. You have already become a new creature inside. Now what we have to do is get it to manifest in your life. You see, it's there. The gift is there. The calling is there. The power is there. It's there. It's a part of who you are when you make Jesus Christ your personal Savior. You become a new creature in Christ. But it doesn't manifest until you start doing something with it, with the power and the gifts that you have that's inside of you. So what we have, you know, our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So what we want to do is equip you, to teach you, to train you, to raise you up so that you can see what your calling and your purpose is. God has a higher calling for your life than you are living right now. I don't care if you've been using and exercising your gifts. He still has a higher calling for you. It's never going to end. You're going to continue growing and leaping and becoming. You know, it's taken a lot for Rob Barber to pastor Bethel Worship Center just because of my personality. It's not the kind of thing that I desire. I envy those guys that just can't wait to get in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. There's guys out there that are that way. They love it. Well, there's something inside of me that I'm always just a little bit, I wouldn't say frightened, but apprehensive about it. Yes, thank you. I shouldn't be because, you know, I'm doing what God called me to do. I put my time in. I study. I prepare. I try to get everything right. So the rest is up to God. So when I can, you know, what I have to do is every week I have to tell myself that this is God's will, this is God's calling, and God is in control. And as long as I can get up here and do it that way and know that God is in control, I don't have any worry. No worries, man. No worries. Doesn't matter how foolish I look. It doesn't matter what I might say or how I stumble or all that kind of stuff. What matters is that God's word is preached and taught and people grow and become something in Christ. That there's fruit that comes out of it. And that's what God wants from you. He wants fruit to come out of your life. He wants you to bear that fruit, and He wants you to walk in that high calling that He has for you. Now, this teaching is not necessarily about the particular gifts of the Spirit and the gifts that we have in the body of Christ. There's numerous gifts. Some people, the theologians debate what the gifts are, but some believe that there's over 30 gifts that are imparted in the body of Christ. We know that there are various gifts. We know that in Corinthians it outlines the spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues and prophecy and all those kind of things that are to operate in the body of Christ and in God's people as we go out. We also know that there's giftings in the pulpit, the fivefold ministry giftings, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So we know absolutely. And then you could just go on, more and more gifts. One of the gifts that was mentioned was giving. Being liberal with your giving. Hallelujah. Let's pray in more people with that gift, all right? Hallelujah. Giving is an important part. It's a gift. Now, we're all supposed to do it, just like we're all supposed to share our faith and share our testimony. But not everybody in here is an evangelist. Yes, sir. Right? Few people that I meet are evangelists. Lloyd Middleton was an evangelist at heart. Wherever Lloyd went, Lloyd shared Jesus with it. I don't think the man ever met a stranger. It was just like if you met Lloyd Middleton for the first time, he was your best friend. And he treated you like you were his best friend. So, you know, that's a unique gifting and calling that God has, puts on people's lives. But we're all supposed to share. But so there's these gifts and these things that God desires for each and every one of us to have is a part of the body of Christ, and we must walk in it. But I got to tell you, where I'm going with this morning is I'm talking about submitting and submission to the local body. I'm not trying to fool you here with anything. I want you to know, if you want to walk out, now's the time to get out of here. Bye, Crystal. She started out before I said that. So I want to let everybody know. This is an uncomfortable subject because of our society. We have an aversion to submission. Submitting to anybody, submitting to government, submitting to laws. You know, I got to tell you, I'm no different than anybody else. I hate the seatbelt law. My wife will tell you I hate the seatbelt law. She's all the time saying, fasten your seatbelt, fasten your seatbelt, fasten your seatbelt. It's not because there's anything wrong with the seatbelt law. It's because I'm a rebellious booger. That's all. I don't like for the government to tell me what I have to do. It's a good thing. And my wife is right. It's the law, and I should be doing it. I've set a horrible example for my son because he won't wear his seatbelt either. So I'm wrong. I admit it. Hallelujah. That's rebellion. It's sin. My goodness. I got to get it right. No doubt about it. But when we start talking about submission, you know, I can stand up here and tell you that I don't particularly like to submit, but submission is very, very important. In society, if we all go around breaking laws all the time, you know, where does it stop? Well, I don't like the seatbelt law. I don't like a law that says that I shouldn't walk into the bank and take other people's money. So, I get mad at somebody. I don't like the law that says you shouldn't murder. I just shoot you. Where does it stop when we start saying that, you know, it's okay for us not to submit here and submit there, all that kind of thing? Because it can go on and on and on. Submission. So what I want to do is I want to bring it to the church this morning. Because there is little submission in the body of Christ anymore. I'm not talking generally here with Bethel Worship Center. I think we have a great group of people. But I do think we have some things to learn about submitting to one another. It's extremely important that we learn what submission is all about. So let's look at this a little bit. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Each one of us has received a special gift in Christ. And if we're going to be able to operate in that gift properly, we have to learn to submit. All right, as we have read already, that there's one body, and Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One body. Now we as Bethel Worship Center, we are a part of the overall body of Christ. And we must recognize who we are in Christ. And our purpose in Christ, I believe every local body has a specific calling and direction that God gives them. But that doesn't mean that we're no less a part of the overall body of Jesus Christ. Paul is teaching about the soma, the body. You know, we belong to, Bethel Worship Center belongs to a local group called Soma. Pastor Mark Pfeiffer is our apostle. He's a wonderful man, loving guy, and his desire is just to connect churches together so that we can accomplish more than we would accomplish separately. They're not a ruling body over us. We give them certain ability to speak into our life because I believe that's the way authority should be. We should submit to them. And we do submit to them. I submit to Apostle Mark. He's my pastor. And I think that it's very important that you see that model of my submission as you submit to me as the pastor of Bethel Worship Center. When we're talking about proper submission according to God's word. Paul is teaching us that believers are called to be a part of a healthy, complete body. And a healthy, complete body means that we understand that we're a part of something much larger than just us. The church down the street, I don't care what the name is, Nazarene, Baptist, Pentecostal, whether they're an independent charismatic, it doesn't matter. If they are true believers in Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters with them. We may have some doctrinal differences, and we certainly do have some doctrinal difference with most of them. But it's not something that keeps us from being a family. You see, family. We've got to get hold of this understanding of what it is to be family. We have to have it. We have to understand it here in Bethel Worship Center. We are not just a church, because a church is more than just a gathering. You know, the Greek word ekklesia means more than just a gathering of people. It means a group of people that have been set aside with authority. So, and you can't have authority unless you're under authority. So we need to understand that being a part of the church of Jesus Christ means that we have been brought into a family. I want to be in a family. I love my family. My physical family, my biological family. One of the things that I love to do on Sunday afternoons, the first thing I like to do is take a nap. Then, what I like to do is have my family around. I like to have my little grandsons, my daughter, my son-in-law. My son, I like to have them around me. And I don't care whether we're doing anything or not. We can have a cookout. We can go someplace, do something together. But I want them around me. I want them to be a part of what I'm doing. I want them to be close to me because I love them intensely. Mm-hmm. I like having them around.
Yes, sir.
I like having them around more than my wife likes having them around sometimes. Now, she loves her family, but you know how it is. Sometimes there's a lot of work, a lot of things, extra things you have to do when you have family around. I don't care about any of that, mostly because she does it.
I was going to say.
That's not true. I do my share. Hallelujah. But family, and that's what we have to get a hold of. Brother Otis is my family.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Stand up, brother. Look, don't we look alike?
We're twins. We're twins.
Hallelujah.
You got hair.
Yeah. We're brothers. And we do look alike. I want you to understand that. You look inside, we look alike. We have the same desire, the same passion for God, the same expectation for Bethel Worship Center,
yes, sir.
The same desire for God's people. We look more alike than you think. And this is a family here. We're united with one another. And I really believe we need to become more of a family. Closer to each other. Able to depend on each other. and stand with each other. Pray for each other. I mean, intensely pray. You know? When Randy Jewel's uncle is sick, and he's not right now that I know of, right? Maybe? Okay. I should know more about it. Then I will pray just as intensely as if it's my uncle. That's the way we operate with family. We've got to get closer. We've got to become more and more like the family of God that we're supposed to be. Let me share a scripture with you. Turn to Psalms. Psalms chapter 68. This is the scripture that Soma uses as their basis for being. It says this in Psalms 68, verse 6. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now what the scripture is saying is that He takes those who are without family, that are solitary, loners, and He places them in a family. He gives them a family. No matter whether you have the kind of family that you want to have, a biological family, your physical family, He wants to place you in a family that cares, that loves, that has compassion for you, that is with you. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. He takes us and He puts us in a family where we can prosper. That's why you're a part of this family. Now, I want to tell you something. Unless we catch hold of this reality of what family is all about, people will jump from one church to another. From one church to another, looking for something that they're not going to find. I don't know whether they're looking for excitement. I don't know whether they're looking for something to fulfill what the emptiness inside of them. But unless you catch hold of what the church is, it's a family. You're not going to be fulfilled in any church that you go to. Because this is all about family. This is all about connecting. This is all about becoming what God wants us to become. This is all about accepting those that others will not accept and bringing them in and calling them brother, calling them sister, calling them family. But it goes on to say, listen, this is part of submission, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That's why, you know, some people that you know that are Christians and they're just running around from church to church to church trying to find a place, they're dwelling in a dry land. And usually it's because of rebellion. They're not ready to submit to anybody in their life. And the scripture is very clear. We're to submit to one another. Now, anybody who knows me, if you're hearing me for the first time this morning, you may be thinking that I'm some kind of authoritarian rascal that just wants people to serve him, bow down and serve him. That's not me at all. I want you to know that. I do not feel that way. I feel that the most important thing in the body of Christ is for leaders to be servant leaders. Jesus taught us, the Word of God is very clear, that if you're going to be the greatest among them, if you're going to lead, you must be the servant of all. So I have to be your servant. That doesn't mean that I do not walk in authority in my position. It doesn't mean that I have to take a position on something that's not a popular position. I've had to do that many times. I hate it. I don't like it when people get mad at me and don't like me. But man, I have found out that being a pastor means that you better buck up a little bit and not care so much about what people think about you. Otherwise, you're going to be flopping back and forth with every wave to and fro. You're going to be a double-minded man. Because people are fickle. And if they can control you and get you to do things their way, they will certainly do it. Thank God I have a room full of people who's not like that. Amen. And we're going to add to that. We're going to expand our family. But you know, here's something I want you to understand in regards to the Word of God. And that is that being a believer, or somebody saying that they're a believer in Jesus Christ, does not necessarily mean that they are really a believer in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people sitting in churches all over this area in the United States, probably the world, that are saying, I am a believer in Christ, and their life does not line up with their words. Because being a believer in Jesus Christ is more than just saying I believe. It's walking the walk. It's not just talking the talk, but it's walking the walk. It's according to Jesus. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we're ready to break every commandment that he ever commanded us to walk in. And yet call ourselves believers. So it's very important that we recognize what it means to be a true believer. You know, I can say all kinds of things. I can say I'm a Ferrari. I can even go as far as to make car noises. If I had a Ferrari, I'd like to do that. I could park myself in a garage if I wanted to. Wouldn't make me a Ferrari. It'd make me crazy. That's what it'd make me. You could say anything you want to say about yourself, but the reality is people know who you are by your actions, not by your words, by your deeds, not by what you say. And that's how we know family. We know family because family's there for you. Family loves you. Family lifts you up. Family encourages you. Family stands with you. Family doesn't stab you in the back as soon as they get the opportunity. That's right. Family embraces. Family loves. Family deals with issues that arise instead of ignoring them. Instead of going around talking about it, you deal with the issue face to face, one-on-one with that person. You do it the Bible way. That's what a family does. If I have an issue with my son, I learned a long time ago, particularly with him and the kind of spirit that he has, for me to rebuke him in front of people would just crush him. That was wrong. In order to do it right for him, I had to take him aside and talk to him privately. And not just tell him what he did wrong, but tell him what he did right. Yes, sir. Well, one of the things about being family is that we have to understand each other. We have to learn each other's personalities, what it means to walk in love toward that person. It may mean something different for me to walk in love, a different kind of action, a different kind of way of handling situation, for me to walk in love toward Jim Osborne. And it may mean something different toward Joy. In fact, they're different people. Totally different people. But that's my brother. That's my sister. And I love them. I love them. We love each other. Hallelujah. All right. Trying to figure out where I am. I've been bouncing all over the place here. First Peter 5, 2 and 3 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is among you, watching over it, not because you must, but because you want to, and not greedily, but eagerly, as God desires. Do not lord it over the people entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock." That's International Standard Version. The word shepherd here is translated from the same Greek word in Ephesians 4:11 as pastor. And what I want you to see is that God sets servant leaders in the church to lead by example, to rule in love, with authority to govern. God has given me authority to govern this church. Responsibility to govern is a better way to put it. A huge responsibility. But I don't do it alone. I have elders that we govern this church. And we have deacons that help us in governing the church with the dealing with the finances. We delegate and work together to accomplish the building and the growing of this local body. But regardless of any way you look at it, I want you to understand we're talking about headship here. God established family, and he said, the man is the head of the household. And what did he say to the woman? He said, man, love your wife, because it's very important that a woman be loved, nurtured, tended to, made special, to feel special. But he said to the woman, to the man, respect and submit to him. I'm not telling you that if you have a man that is beating you and mistreating you, that you're supposed to lay down and wallow in that. I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you that there is headship in the body of Christ. And if we want things to work properly, we have to get the men in the right place. We have to get the men to take responsibility. What that means is that any decision is made in your household, if it goes wrong, it's your fault. That makes submission a little different, doesn't it? Women, you ought to like that. You ought to be able, yeah, man, that's freeing. That should make you feel good. Now, I don't mean that you can run off and make the decision and then blame him. Right? I mean that you work together with that man in the household. And when a decision has to be made and you make it, the two of you agree and you move forward, and even if you don't agree, and you move forward with a decision, the man takes the responsibility of it, right or wrong. And a real man will admit when it's wrong. But most of the time I found you don't have to, because she'll tell you. Right? All right. Hebrews 13, 17. If you want to turn there real quick, we're going to wrap things up here. Wow, it's 12 o'clock. I didn't realize that. Oh, well. Hebrews 13, 17. It says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who will have to give account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." In other words, he's talking about submission here. Those who are in authority over you, don't make them have to command the things to be done. Obey, be in obedience to them and what they request of you. The Greek word here is pitheo. It means listen to, obey, yield to, comply with, to trust, have confidence in. Have confidence in your leaders. My goodness, as your pastor, we've been doing this, we're going to be coming up on 18 years pastoring the original church, South Bethel, and this church, Bethel Worship Center. We moved a few places, we've done a few things, but surely you can have a little bit of confidence in your pastor that he's not trying to lead you in the wrong direction. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect and I'm going to make all the right decisions. That doesn't happen. But I do have a group of men that I believe are wise that help me make those decisions. Pastor Otis, Randy Jewell, Bud Wilson, Bill Francis. These guys help us when we have tough decisions to make. They come alongside me and they say, you know, I think we should do this or I think we should do that. They have wisdom that I listen to. So you got to have some confidence in your belief, in your leaders. You got to have the confidence in these men. I have confidence in them. I want you to have confidence in them. It's very important that we can have confidence in our leadership. That's the only way that you're going to be able to submit to someone. You want to go ahead and come on up, Pastor Otis? That's the only way that you will be able to submit is if you have confidence. I've had people that didn't have confidence in me. They don't stay around very long. I don't know what I've ever done to cause them not to have confidence in me, but sometimes that happens. And when they do not have, there is no way they're going to submit. And it's obvious in their attitude, their actions, and the way they communicate with me. Need to obey. Years ago, we had a situation where people felt that that there was a doctrine that was out of line with our church. Now, here's what I want you to understand. That you can only submit to me and to the leadership of this church as long as you do have that confidence in us and you have confidence in what we're teaching and sharing. Because we're doing our best to teach and share the Word of God. But if a person believes that we're teaching some kind of heresy, it's going to be very difficult for them to continue in this body. As I started to say years ago, we had a couple people that believed that women should not be in any kind of leadership teaching position. And they confronted me about it. We dealt with it. But the reality is, I have a different belief in coming from the Word of God than they had about that. You know, you can cite this scripture that suffer not a woman to teach, but you have to look at and understand the overall scripture and what the Bible teaches. God allowed women to do a lot of things in the Word of God, and He calls them just like He calls men. There's no gender in the body of Christ, but there is headship. So we don't want to get confused about authority and headship. So what happened with that situation was they ended up leaving because we couldn't come to a consensus on that belief. And that was the appropriate thing for them to do. Absolutely. There was no way for them to sit in that under my ministry, under my teaching, with that opinion. However, here is the crazy thing. That sometimes people will disagree with me about some kind of philosophy of ministry. And what I'm talking about is whether we should have home Bible studies or not have home Bible studies. Small groups, cell groups, whatever you want to call them, or not have. That's just the philosophy of ministry. And what happens is that people begin to take things like that and they try to make them spiritual. We're going to spiritualize this thing, and we're going to say that God says we shouldn't have home Bible studies, or God says we should have, or God says we should have Sunday evening worship. You find that for me, and I'll agree with you. You see, people disagree on minor, crazy issues sometimes, and they refuse to submit to the leadership of the church. Those are just philosophies of ministry. You may like to have home Bible studies or not have home Bible. You might like having a Wednesday evening service or a Sunday evening service. There's nothing wrong with your like. I don't like because I believe that we need to focus on other areas. And that's just ministry philosophy. And if you have a difference in opinion on ministry philosophy, and we can't come to conclusion, a decision on, you know what the Bible says? It says submit. It says you're supposed to submit to the leader. I know you don't want to hear that, but that's what it teaches, that you're to submit to that local body. Now, submission, I want to tell you something. Submission does not even start until you disagree with the other person. I can't submit to Randy Jewell's opinion about something unless I disagree, because if I agree with it, there's no submission involved. Yeah, you're right, brother. Hallelujah. Let's do it. But if I don't like it, I don't agree with it. If I don't agree with the way he wires the church when he does new wiring here. He's the electrician. He's the boss. He's the expert. So guess what? I should submit. I have to submit to that. It's simple. But when it comes to church, we make it huge. We make it a mountain. Because we think that our philosophy about something is more important than the leader's philosophy. It's just life. I think that we need to get over ourselves sometimes and try to learn to be the family God has called us to. The word submit in this scripture in Hebrews, it means to resist longer, but to give up, give way, to resist no longer, to give way, yield to authority and admonition, to submit. The imagery here is two wrestlers entangled in a battle with one another. Neither one is gaining anything. They're just wrapped up with each other. And suddenly one of them just pats out. He gives up. Said, I submit to this guy. He didn't have to. He wasn't being defeated. He wasn't winning, but he wasn't being defeated. He just decides to pat out. You understand what I'm saying? That's what submission is. Submission is saying, wait a minute. This fight and this battle is not worth it. This is doing nothing but destroying and creating turmoil and chaos. What we have to do is just learn to submit to one another. Stand with me. You know, sometimes the things that we think are important are not as important as we think. I've seen churches split over the color of carpet, over whether they have chairs or pews, what color they're going to have the walls. Is that ridiculous or what? It's crazy. And yet it happens. And all we're talking about is a difference in opinion about something. Sometimes we just have to get with the program. As the family, we get with the program and move along with the family. Everybody knows I like basketball. And I love this story about Coach John Wooden. He was a coach of UCLA. And he recorded 11 championships. NCAA championships in basketball, and that's incredible. It's unheard of. But one of the players that John Wooden had was Walton, who went on to have a tremendous NBA career. But when Walton came to UCLA, it was the days of the hippies. Long hair, everybody was smoking weed, they were doing all kinds of crazy things. Well, long hair during that time on a basketball team was not acceptable. And Coach Wooden had a team philosophy. You had to be clean cut. He went one day, he told his team that. One day, Walton came to him and he said, Coach, I'm not going to cut my hair. And the coach said, well, John, you know, it's been good having you here with the team. I hope you find a team you can play with. And he just walked away. The next day, Walton came to practice with his hair cut. He had a decision to make, didn't he? Was he going to be a part of the family and live by the rules? Or reject him and go someplace else? He wanted to stay with the family. He knew he had a good family. And he stayed with it. Could Walton have played basketball with long hair? Absolutely. Wouldn't have stopped. He would have played just as well with long hair as he would with short hair. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with team discipline and a team approach. Sometimes that's what it's all about with family here at Bethel Worship Center. Team discipline and team approach. Hallelujah. All right. I'd like for you all to bow your head. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here this morning that they just don't know you, they'd like to know Christ as their personal Savior. They've not made that public commitment. They've not become a part of your family, Lord. I just ask that you touch their heart this morning. Stir them. Help them to know the importance of having a personal relationship with you. Help them to recognize that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, so that they could be saved, so that they could be set free from the condemnation of sin and eternal torment. Father, today we just commit people to you. And I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. So we wrap this service up. I'd just like to say, everybody keep your head bowed. Is there anyone here that would like to make a commitment to Christ this morning? You've not done that. And you want God to know that you want your sins forgiven. You want Jesus as your Savior. Okay. I want to make sure we don't miss anybody. Praise you, Lord.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for this podcast is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, Romans 10:9 makes it extremely simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at www.bethel.org. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. I hope you have a blessed day.